I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe. Is to know from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 775, Night Swim, the REM story.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the theaters.
Yes. Oh, I was like, into
we
your...
come to this place for magic. I came to this place to watch a movie like 45 minutes ago, Nicole Kidman. How about getting the fuck off the screen?
Let's go!
So I can watch the damn movie.
Yeah, like, but she has to remind you that you should go to AMC Theaters.
While you're at AMC
Are they still
theaters?
Playing those?
They are still playing it. They did not play it in front of Aquaman. And I had a moment of like, oh, maybe our long national nightmare is over. Because
she's in the movie?
That's what I'm wondering, if they didn't play it because she's in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I don't like to think that those are actors. Would take me out of it.
Too much Nicole Kidman.
Right. Yeah. Like,
given her 20 minutes of screen time.
That's the popcorn lady. She can't.
Yeah.
That's the bean crock girl.
That popcorn's going to be soggy. She's underwater the whole time.
No, it's Atlantean popcorn. So, oh. Yeah, that's how that works.
Oh, did you get the Oracle cum topping?
Yes. It was very salty. It wasn't enjoyable for anybody.
We'll take your word for it. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if it's like in the contract that if she's in the movie, they don't play
That's
it.
Funny.
I don't know.
They've already greenlit a second one. So I thought maybe they're getting ready to switch it over.
We know. Let's use context clues here. We're talking about the AMC trailer and Aquaman. Which one of those do you think we're going to get a follow up to?
We might get another Aquaman, but it ain't going to be like this.
It ain't going to be with any of that cast. Yeah.
They're going to just go back to the Super Friends and like continue that storyline.
I'd be all right.
X-Men 97,
that's coming back.
Super Friends 68,
X-Men 97 is coming back.
I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review, super helpful, greatly appreciated. Also, don't forget, you can watch these episodes in their full glory, now in color.
Technicolor.
Technicolor. We paid for the upgrade on YouTube, and you can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers.
What we're going to do is we're going to have Steamboat Willie in black and white, and then it's going to come into glorious color.
Ooh.
No, I'm sorry. Spoiler Boat Silly is going to be in black and
we
white.
We can still call him Steamboat Willie, can't we?
Yeah, but
I guess we can. Yeah. So there.
It's all legal, baby.
Until they drown you in legal fees.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, they're like, we know we'll lose, but you'll go bankrupt finding out.
Oh, I guess you guys won.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. We're buying Real Spoilers. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's better than the last time. It was just stolen.
That's
so. So the group is called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Librarian Cynthia, Richard Kratzer, Lane LeVanway, Chris Sanders, Chris Vowles, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Dustin Ayers, Gabriel Lugo, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Ralph Triple, Tom Dowdy, Jason McLean, Phil Timon, Travis Tewitt, Taylor Ward, Heather Sachs, Dissect That Film, David Rojas, Krypton Orphan 38.
Also, I know what that means now.
You know what that means yeah. now. Okay.
Did you say Krypton?
Krypton.
Are you Marlon Brando?
I was doing that for all our listeners in South County. Edit Photo Gamer, Colby Mack. Feel and Film, Geek to Me Radio, Spoiler Piece Theater, Binge Movies, Ryan Terry, Ronnie Castle, Nostalgia Cast, Mike, and Oscar, and In Session Film. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. And don't forget, we have a Patreon where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and we like you extra. So there's all that.
Part two of the wrestling / movie biz episode is up on Binge Movies, Patreon right now. Again, it's for free. It's like an hour and a half. Jason and I kind of go into depth about wrestling and
you
the territories.
Going in depth about wrestling?
We did not. I'm telling you, we did not mean it for it to go that long. It just kind of happened. Just about like where the consolidation of streaming services and properties and everything that's kind of how that ties into wrestling and where wrestling is now. Have you ever heard that story about Brando on when he was doing Superman?
No.
So he doesn't know any of his lines. Like Donner's got to put cue cards up
right.
kind of all over. Cause
they did that during Godfather.
Yeah.
He had it written on little notepads.
And Godfather
stuff.
Is yeah. like him at his peak, right? Superman, not so much.
That was
you
like
know what I mean?
Paycheck
like,
roll.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And he kept saying Krypton. And people would look at Donner and they're just like, he's not saying it right. And he's like, I'm not going to tell him. Just let him go. Like, I'm not going to say
it. It's like he was the highest paid actor per minute of screen time.
Yeah.
Which means he had very short amount of lines.
He's on, like he's on screen 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, maybe. Maybe in the extended cut. Like, he's hardly in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the opening yeah. sequence, and you see him again when Clark goes to the fortress, yeah. and that's it. But, yeah, he just kept saying
Krypton.
And he would do, apparently he would do things like that just to see if people would say anything.
Yeah.
So, like, what was the one that was, like, all maligned? It was, the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he would, like, people have talked, he's like, he would put, like, a bucket on his head. He had a bucket on his head in scenes, and he just did it because he was just waiting to see if somebody would stop him, and nobody did, and it's on film.
I think at some point, if you become rich and famous enough, you're just bored, and you're like, how can I make this interesting?
Well, that's, clearly didn't really... I also think there's a reality break. You know, yeah. like Kevin Smith tells that Prince story,
oh.
where he's like, he wakes up at 3:30 in the morning in Minnesota, wants a camel, and he can't understand why that can't happen.
Yeah,
and it's just like, it's 3:30 in the morning. In Minnesota,
yeah.
and you want a camel. He's like, uh-huh, get it done.
There's got to be a petting zoo in Minneapolis somewhere.
That's true.
Go fetch a camel.
Go get me a camel. That's... But I think there is like a, once you reach a certain level.
Well, it's the whole Bill Gates, how much is a gallon of milk?
Yeah, sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, money has no meaning at that point, right?
Right.
Like, it's because
you can get anything.
You can get anything you want. So anyway, there's shameless plugs. Let's dig in, shall we?
Man.
No.
So I didn't see anything about this movie.
I didn't either.
And I saw it. I still don't think I've seen anything about this movie.
My first thought was, this could just be a short film. My yeah. second thought was, hey, how did this movie come into being? Oh,
it was a short film.
It was a 4-minute short film with 1 minute of credits.
Uh-huh. They prefer to be called little films.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Lights Out was a short film.
Right.
And
they're trying to do the same thing. Let's find a scary yeah. little short film.
And there's a lot out there. There's a lot of really
has anybody
good...
seen? Did you watch the short film? Is it out there to be
yeah.
seen?
Yeah, it's yeah. on YouTube.
Was it any good? There's... Better than this?
It's fine for a short film.
Right.
Nothing happened. Let me build up the short film.
I'm just trying
you.
To okay. figure out.
I know. I no,
yeah, me, I just want to know what happened in the
it's
short
only
film
minutes.
That made somebody go, oh, that's
well,
a, yeah, thing.
Well, let me,
a thing.
Well, let me explain it to you. Okay. 1 minute, the first minute, woman swimming in a pool.
Okay.
The second minute, underwater, looking up through the water. Oh, there's a person there. Pop up from water. Oh, you're home early. Oh, no one's here. Third minute, ending minute, lights go out. It's creepy. A figure comes out of the dark shadows. I believe it's the same person swimming, but creepied up. Like, I don't know. I couldn't tell, but it looked like the same person walking towards. And then it's like, the end. I mean, there's nothing in it. It's just, it's a gag. It's just a.
Yeah, that is what those, you know, Lights Out is the same way.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's fine. Like, for a 3-minute short film, that's right. fine. There is not enough meat on the bone of this premise.
I don't need TikTok the movie.
Right.
But of course, it's such a contained movie, and without excellent writing, like Ryan Reynolds buried in a coffin's interesting because it's the script and you have a great actor and you're trying, you know, there's a story going on that's interesting, but you can't just for an hour and a half have scares in one pool.
Right.
So they try to build this preposterous story and characters that you could not care less about.
Nope.
And extrapolate this into a hour and a half movie where I watched the trailer two for this movie after it came out. And there's like three scary parts in the movie. They're all in the trailer because there's only a few things that happen that are exciting.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the idea of a haunted swimming pool is like dumb. It's dumb. I'm like, are we just out of things to haunt now?
Like, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a haunted gazebo.
That's what I'm saying. When I watch this movie, it screams parody to me. It's just... when it's like, you know, what are the sequels going to be? Oh, the haunted sauna.
Okay, so that's funny. That's funny you bring that up. That is what the Amityville series became. So the first one is what it is, right? The second one is, I think it's another family that moves into the house. The third one may have been like a prequel, like about the family that was the
original family.
Yeah. And then everything else after that
is just, it's all about the realtor trying to unleash.
It's like, God, I can't sell this place. But it would be like there was a clock that was inside the Amityville house, and now that clock is in this house, and the clock is haunted. Like, that's what that series became.
How would you guys like to watch 20 minutes of real estate sales? Does that sound good in an hour and a half?
You know what? With the right script, because my counter argument, Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay. Right.
And The Big Short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the execution of this movie in the 20. It was so boring. The only time it gets exciting is when stuff starts. That pool party is the first time in the movie where I'm like, okay, something's happening at least. Like, what is going on? And I'm not saying it's that great. But also, the movie's called Night Swim. Creepy stuff happens 24 hours at this pool. It is not located to a time of day.
Nope.
Yeah.
Pool party in the middle of the day and creepy stuff possesses
not even
them.
It's located to the pool.
No, the water can go anywhere.
The water comes in the house. Like, and
it's in somebody else's house.
I'm just like because like the whole thing, I've been like, well, just don't go in the pool.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Yeah. Like the people that live in the people that lived in the house before you, they figured it out. Yeah. Drain the pool, don't go in it. Problem solved.
Right.
No, but then it turns out that's not solved because then the pool will just fill itself back up.
Not when you fill it. Well, we don't want to jump too far ahead to solutions.
Not?
But well, I'm happy. But to get
like
out of
when
here,
they when they buy the house, the pool's been empty for like 15 years.
Yeah, but then when we see that, then
but their motivations at least make sense.
Yeah, but she does it. She drains the pool, and then the pool fills itself back up. There's a when she she drains it, and then like the black gunk comes out and fills itself back up, and the kid's like, "What the hell? We drained this pool." So obviously it doesn't matter if you drain it.
At least story-wise, the plot checks out that this is a naturally spring-fed pool, so you can't like stop it. It's going to find its way. I'm not saying it's impossible. I mean, concrete filling it would, but without going to those lengths, if she just drains it or she sucks it all out.
Why was it empty when they moved in?
That's a great – thank you.
Well,
because it got fed. Like we find – so this movie opens, and I will say, I liked this opening. I think the opening is very creepy.
It's okay.
I think it's fine. I think it's a really good opening sequence.
I don't think there's anything scary about a haunted swimming pool.
It's not about the pool. It's about the way the girl is like being jerked underwater. And
I know. And I'm not saying the way it was filmed wasn't intense or anything. But what I'm saying is the premise of this movie, and maybe it's just my opinion. Maybe everyone else feels differently. But I think a movie around a haunted swimming pool.
I agree.
Is stupid.
Like, I agree.
There's no world where I don't want to say that. We've been surprised before, but it's a haunted swimming pool. When they're showing a creepy shot of a swimming pool, I'm just like, it's a swimming pool. Like, I just am not into
the premise.
That. It's
causes skepticism.
Yeah. Yes.
That's not to say the right
disagree.
Script couldn't save it, but on its face, dumb idea.
Yes.
The script does nothing to elevate.
I think doing it as a 3-minute short.
Yes.
It's
a concept. It's creepy. Well, what creepy thing could happen? Because you know what? Because that is one scene of scares in this movie, right? It's just like, oh, there's a 3-minute sequence. There's a, you know, that's fine. And the short film, it's filmed well. It looks good. Like
same director as this.
Co-director, yeah. So I can see how that would be a springboard to other things. That's a good, 3-minute reel. But as a full film, again, to get you to care about the characters, because by the end of this thing, I'm just like, whatever.
Well,
you know?
in Lights Out is the same thing, right? Like that movie is just about a gal in bed flicking a switch,
yeah.
Like that first one. But they were able to take that mm-hmm. and expand it for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it worked for the most part.
Is it good? I've never seen it.
It's fine. Actually... I think it's okay. It's
better than this
easily.
Well, because that concept, at least things that happen basically in the dark.
Like yeah, they have to like keep the thing in the like if you have light around you,
yeah.
Like, you keep the thing away.
But that can follow you to anywhere where there's darkness, right? Is it localized to the house, or is it
no,
anywhere?
I think it's any... It's been a minute, but again,
it's like, okay, well, even if you have a whole... If there's a lot of movies have taken place in a one big house or whatever. Sure. So that's different. This is in a swimming pool. It's well, so then,
and then when you find out, like, what the thing is...
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's like, it's, well... Come on. Like, now you've even handcuffed yourself even more.
Yeah.
Unless you're saying that... So here's the spoiler. It's basically a wishing well. And the wishing well, or the wishing lake, or spring.
The house was originally owned by Terrence Trent D'Arby. That's the
guy. Explain that one to
that's
me.
That's the spoiler.
Who's why?
Because that his big song was "Wishing Well."
Oh,
well,
okay.
I need older people.
You need Dan show. Back.
Yeah,
Songs from the 90s. It's not like I'm pulling out a show from the 60s.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if you pull a Poltergeist and you say that the entire house was built. Over the spring.
Then it's called Haunted House, not Swimming Pool, right? Like, that's the...
Right.
If you see the short film, it just makes me want... And anyone can do it, and Kevin Smith says it all the time. It makes me want to pick up a camera and start making short films. Because I'm not trying to knock the director, and it's a fine short film. But if that is what gets you greenlit to be a $10 million movie creator, like, you just got to watch this short film. And I'm telling you, almost anyone could make it. And I'm not trying to... be rude about it. I promise you I'm not. It is good, but I'm saying it's not like, oh my god, this guy, the vision, right.
I think that's...
someone swam in a pool, the lights went off, creepy person walked out, and the girl goes and gets pulled under the pool, and then lights go back on and there's no one there. Like, you...
but that's what
we
he
could
said.
All make that
he,
movie.
Hey, Night Gazebo,
yeah,
done.
We could make a parody and it would be just as effective.
But that's, he said, you know, he's Kevin Smith has said that, right? He said, when I saw Slacker, mm-hmm. he's like, that's when I realized, you know, for the longest, you look at movies for the most part, and you look at Jaws or you look at Terminator 2, well, and it's like, God, I can't do that.
The barrier to entry was very high.
Yeah.
For cameras, right?
And by the 90s, that barrier was coming down. It was still high.
Sure.
Right? But it was a lot less high than it used to be. Yeah. So you could get a movie like Slacker or Clerks, but you're still going to spend tens of thousands of dollars on the low end to do it. Where now, like, everybody's got a film studio in their pocket.
You can make as many short films as you want.
You
can
go rent a red camera for, you know, $200.
But I mean, you could do it with an iPhone.
That's
Steven
Soderbergh.
And you don't even need a new iPhone. Like, right? Like, the technology's been around long enough that you could get an old iPhone.
iPhone 10? What's the one when Soderbergh partnered up with them and it was the big deal that they shot this short film on an iPhone? It was like the iPhone 10 or 12. I mean, it was older.
Yeah. They're on 15 now.
Yeah, so like you don't even have to go get the $1,500 iPhone. You could probably find a $200 iPhone at this point.
Yeah.
And shoot stuff that looks great.
Now, the 4-minute short film for this was from 2014, so it was from 10 years ago.
Yep.
Right.
So maybe at that time, you know, it did look very, I mean, it looks like a film. Like, the way it's shot, they're using good cameras, good lighting. Again, it looks very good, but 10 years later, essentially what they're doing is making... like YouTube videos that people make now.
They're making a TikTok.
It looks so when you watch that short film now, and you know, I'm not trying to knock them for what they did 10 years ago, but nowadays I would not see that and go, that's a movie, because there's people on YouTube everywhere making little
Look at the guys that did Talk to Me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean,
now that's a great horror movie. That was
Here's
excellent.
The thing is it is really hard to make a horror film in 2024 that nobody has seen. Right? Like, every concept, for the most part, has been done.
There is
haunted
nothing
houses.
New under the sun.
That's why they're that's why they're going to Night Swim. That's haunted swimming pool, because they're trying to find new things. But what I will say with Talk to Me, I don't think that... I mean, that concept was original in a sense, but also, you cared about the characters.
Yeah,
right.
They did the thing that this movie did not do. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what's going to save your movie, right?
Always.
Like, I mean, if a movie can recycle... I mean, why do we still go to rom-coms, right?
Right.
Why do they still work when they work? Well, it's because you like the characters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like...
Did you see that new one?
That's doing good business.
Sydney Sweeney and
that
Glenn
Anyone
Powell.
But You?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but it's every week it's doing solid business. Apparently pretty decent.
Good for them.
But I will say, like, I like the way the movie industry seems to be trending back to the way it was in the 60s and 70s, where opening weekend does not necessarily
make or break
yeah. your film, right? Like, it used to be like a movie would come out and then it would build steam and then get good word of mouth, and all of a sudden, you know, like I've talked before about how the ads in the newspaper used to be like now in its 45th week, right? Yeah. And I like the fact, I mean, we've got multiple movies in the Cineplex right now that are kind of just keep chugging along. Like Wonka is doing that.
Mm-hmm. I think Godzilla did it.
Yeah, Godzilla did it. I think Color Purple's doing it. This rom-com's doing it. That they just kind of keep every week making money. Like they keep making $15, $20 million.
Do you think that's because, they're not really getting hit with competition right now?
I think maybe that some of it is that we also seem to have gotten away from a tentpole movie per week model of films as well, which I think is also good.
I think people are back to the theaters too. I mean, you have to remember, just a couple of years ago, things were very different.
That's true.
And easily, these movies that are getting good box office and that are also getting good reviews, you know, they're going to be on streaming in a few weeks. People could just wait, but now they're actually going to the theaters.
Marvel's is already out.
You say people are back to Disney the theaters, Plus, but like the producers of the Marvels would disagree. The producers of Aquaman would disagree.
Well,
like those are movies that in a previous existence, there's no way on paper either one of those movies could open to less than $100 million weekend.
Yeah. No, totally.
No, what I mean by that is that, you know, just a couple of years ago, there was basically no one going to the theaters. And so at least now people see a good movie coming out, something that looks interesting, they will actually go, where not too long ago it was like, oh, well, we'll just be on streaming, we won't go to the theater. But now it's like people are choosing to go, but the budgets are going to have to get reined in. They can't keep making $250 million movies for box office.
Well, it's funny because I know for a long time people were like, oh, the only thing that is going to get made are these $300 million movies.
And they were right for a while.
And now I think you might actually see it swing back, because that's such a big gamble that if it doesn't, you know, it used to be if you made 10 of those, 7 of them would work.
Right.
And the 7 that works would more than offset the 3 that didn't. And now it's kind of like it's flipped and it's like 3 of those will work.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But James Gunn said it recently in an interview. People aren't sick of superhero movies. They're sick of bad superhero movies.
Right.
Think of the ones that have come out. And the Marvels you mentioned was fine, but think about how good so many of the superhero movies were that were the, I won't say prequels, but the original ones. And then we just listed off Shazam 2, Wonder Woman 2, Aquaman 2. They're bad. Like people have learned, you know, fool me once, shame on me, you know, fool me 10 times, like,
but
I'm not going to your movie.
On the flip side, Wonder Woman 2, sequel to a great movie. Shazam 2, sequel to a really good movie.
Right.
Aquaman 2, sequel to a really fun movie.
But they they cannot depend on, oh, the first one was so good, they'll just show up. Because now we have social media, more film critics, right? Uh-huh. There's so many more people on Rotten Tomatoes. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because the truth is getting out there. Movie studios can't hide behind.
Well, you don't get hit with the reviews where it's like, you know, I think you still see that.
You mean the junket reviews?
Yes, like, where it's like, this movie is so much fun and blah, blah, blah. But then you've got like people who aren't funded by a studio.
Not to say that those are lies. I mean, because there's a lot.
They are
but you just feel like, oh, they're more excited about it because they're there. Yeah,
they had a different experience
exactly
around this movie. And I do think that it's hard to go to a junket, especially like if you're a name critic, if you're Owen Kliberman or whatever, you know, like, yeah, you're just like, whatever.
Right.
But a lot of these other people, if all of a sudden we got sent to a junket, it'd be really hard not to come back and be like,
it was so good.
Night Swim 2. It was the best movie I've ever seen. I've never been so scared in my life.
That's funny. That's very true.
And, you know, because you're pulling in a lot of people that don't get opportunities like that,
sure,
or don't get them frequently. So it's really fun and exciting. And so
you get the basket.
Studios are not nonprofits. Why do you think they do that? Like, they know what they're doing.
It's the Weinstein story, right? Where he would buy, you know, for Shakespeare in Love, where they bought and sold, you know,
They
bought Shakespeare, literally.
Wow. That skull that they were holding is actually Shakespeare's skull.
You know, that's the thing is, like, he made sure that movie won.
Yeah.
What did she win? Did it win?
I think she won, and it won Best Picture because it beat out Saving Private Ryan.
Which is ridiculous.
And, yeah.
That's insane. Like, there's no reason that Shakespeare in Love.
The point is, either way, the information's out there, so you can't hide behind movie star names, right? It used to be like, this is a star vehicle.
Here's the new Harrison Ford.
And you just saw it, right? Then you either said, oh, that wasn't that great, or you said, oh, I enjoyed it, whatever, and it came and went.
Can you name an actor right now who can open a movie based on their name? Like, and not Tom Cruise, not...
I'm trying to think, who are the movie stars? Tom Cruise, that's why they say he's the last of the movie stars, because I think he can at this point.
I mean, if somebody's like, oh, the new... I don't even know.
Because you see,
Chris
like...
Chris Pratt movies coming out. It's like, no,
no,
thanks.
Not yet. Yeah. No, because it turned to IPs, right?
That's exactly it.
Right.
We look at The Rock and we say he's one of the biggest movie stars, but his movies do terrible overseas because the action stuff, they do well, but they don't do that great here because...
Well, they did, and then they took a dip.
But even then, The Rock is smart enough to attach himself to IPs.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, he doesn't star in very many movies that aren't IP-driven.
Jungle Cruise. No. Jumanji, because Jungle Cruise was not good.
Right.
But Jumanji was... The first one was great.
Yeah.
The first one was a lot of fun, yeah. But it's IP.
It's an IP. That's exactly it.
That's what I mean. But look at his movies like San Andreas or whatever, where it's just like generic action movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets the overseas money or whatever. But like, they're not...
Which one was San Andreas?
That was the one where...
Neve Campbell? Was that right?
No,
that's the earthquake one, and he like...
San Andreas is the...
He's a helicopter pilot. Yes, it was actually fun.
It was.
It was dumb fun.
You're thinking of
Skyscraper?
There was Skyscraper.
Not Die Hard?
And then was the one... What was the one?
Rampage?
Rampage.
Yeah.
Which is an IP.
It's an IP.
Still makes me really mad, that whole thing where he causes the whole problem and steals a helicopter, commits crimes, and then he saves
the day. No, that's San Andreas.
Well, you're thinking of all the movies he does are the exact same movie. Yeah. Look at... There's YouTube videos about that. That's funny. Look at him in the jungle.
Somebody shared a picture of like four different pictures of The Rock.
In different movies, yeah.
But he's wearing... He's in a jungle in the same getup. He's like, these are four different movies.
But it's the same with the skyscraper. They're the same.
And now he might wrestle.
Good.
He might wrestle Roman Reigns.
Going back to the...
Hey, when the product is hot,
right,
and you can get a little extra cash on it.
But let's talk about this movie. So little girl drowns and abducted by the scary swimming pool monster.
Here's the thing about this, right? Andy Muschietti's It is one of the biggest movies of 2019. Is that one? That first one. That first one was massive.
And that's all I thought of anytime they looked in the train.
She's going for a boat.
For a boat,
right.
I know.
And it's all float down here.
Yeah, it's like, you know that this is one of the most famous like scenes in movies.
Right.
Books.
And in books. Yes, the whole thing.
And in TV movies.
And that's the opening of It. And this is the opening of this movie. That's what I'm saying.
She's like, I'll go get his boat. And it's like... Okay, Georgie. We know what's going to happen to you now.
Let me put on my yellow pajamas real quick.
Make it like a rubber ducky or something.
Anything else.
Like something besides a boat.
A boat going into the water.
But you know what they say. It's like, you know, in Godzilla Minus One, all the Jaws references were great because it's a good movie. This movie, the homages are ripoffs because it's terrible.
Yeah, that's true. Her brother is sick. His boat is in the pool. This little girl takes it upon herself to go into the pool and try to get her brother's boat to make him feel better.
And she gets it, and he recovers in the end.
Sort of.
Oh, well, you know what?
Kinda. And I will say, I do like... One of the things that I have found, and I think it's kind of become a James Wan thing, who was a producer on this.
This is the first movie with the partnership of James Wan.
Atomic Monster and Blumhouse have now joined forces. Yeah.
What a great way to kick off the partnership.
Well, here's the thing. It's also funny. Blumhouse no longer has the rights to Halloween.
What?
Yeah. They lost the rights to that. Miramax has the rights to it now.
Oh.
They had a three-picture deal.
Okay.
But Michael Myers is front and center in their logo. Like, if you look at the Blumhouse logo, when it starts, he's like standing... It's him. It's Michael Myers standing behind a tree.
I guess because he must have some kind of rights to use that.
I mean,
are you sure it's not Miramax has TV rights?
No. Well, I'm not sure.
I heard there was a TV show.
A TV show in the world.
There was a bidding. So Universal, I think, has the overall rights. I think that's right.
Well, either way, let's not make this movie go over an hour. We're 30 minutes into it.
We can talk about Halloween.
No. Let's start the plot of this movie.
Michael Myers is a Universal monster?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I have to, I'm not 100%.
Who's the real monster?
Yeah. Well.
He's a man with a troubled past.
If you talk to Rob Zombie, you're not wrong. Yeah. But yeah, so she goes in the pool. And I do. One of the things that James Wan has kind of done, and it's not a new thing, but like you see the monster in silhouette and out of focus. And I like that because you're not really sure what it looks like, but you can put whatever you want there. It's the Michael Myers mask,
right?
It
takes the weight off of them for having to create a creepy imagery.
It does. But I think it works because, you see something standing on the diving board, I think. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
It's always things better left to your imagination. It's always you create the creepier,
Never going to
project your fears.
It's what makes the letters to Penthouse Forum so good, right? It's left to your imagination.
Put it in your head.
Yeah.
Phone sex. You don't know who's on the other end.
Right. She can look like whatever you want her to look like.
I've told that story. Right.
Oh, what?
You wrote a letter to Penthouse?
No, about how I called.
Oh, yeah, and your dad
and
like on the phone bill.
And I was like, I don't know what that is. I didn't call it. Gosh. And then he makes me call it, and it's like the number had changed into like a Michael Jordan fan line.
Oh my!
So he was like, call it right now. I was like, okay. So I call it, and he was like, hi, this is Michael Jordan.
Oh my!
And I was like, see, I told you. And he's like,
that's incredible. Does he know about that?
Probably now.
That's what I'm saying. Have you just revealed that you actually called?
Oh, I absolutely did it. Yeah.
Is this the first time he's hearing that?
I've told this story before. I don't know if he's listened to that episode, but it's absolutely, it was like in the back of a porno mag. And I was like, I got to know.
Who did you pray to? You were still like practicing Catholic back then.
There was no other, there was nothing I could do.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, that's a miraculous Hail Mary. That really is.
And then when I called it, and it was like, back in the late 80s, early 90s, had like
someone else bought the number.
Well, it's like WCW had their own hotline,
Nintendo,
whatever. Yeah,
power.
Yes. Yeah. And somehow this number was now Michael Jordan.
I remember calling a number for something like that, and it had changed, and it had became porn. And I was like, whoa,
hung up. Don't charge me. Don't charge me.
That's going to be so expensive
for the 2 minutes I was on
this. Okay, so the little girl just.
Although I will say, if you're going to pray to someone to intercede to help hide your sexual indiscretions, being Catholic is the religion to have.
They'd say they hide everything.
So, like, I think it's all coming together.
Coming together. Yeah.
Now, if you had a Michael Jordan fetish, you were really in luck.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, hey, man, I'm calling that number right now. So she gets taken, and then this happens in 1992.
And essentially, this opening scene is a short film.
It's the same short film that you saw.
It's essentially the same thing. So it's like, okay, like a little one and done. But now it's like, for 30 minutes, let's figure out how to build a story around this. And I do mean, I feel like it was at least 20 or 30 minutes of, here's our characters.
This is a Amityville Horror remake. It's the same premise, right? Like, where the family buys this new house. This new house is perfect, and they get it at a great price. They move in,
this is such a nice house. You remember the Eddie Murphy? He does a thing about like why there aren't black people in horror movies. He's like, hey, baby, this is such a nice house. It's so nice. Get out. Too bad we can't stay.
Yeah. That's
right. I think Pryor does a joke about that too.
Yeah.
Well, where he's talking about it's The Exorcist. Where he's just like, get out. Yeah. He's like, oh, goodbye. Yeah. But that's how the Amityville horror is. They move into this house. They get a good deal. They move in. And then Josh Brolin's dad, who's in the original.
Who? Josh?
I know what I said.
I know him as a different...
Thanos.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Thanos.
Thanos.
Oh, hold on. Are you talking about Mr. Streisand? Is that who he's...
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought...
Yeah.
Oh, it is. You're right. Yeah.
Mr. Streisand.
I was thinking
that's the name I was thinking.
Sure. Yeah, right. He gets possessed by the house, and then he's like going after the kids. It's like it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So in this one, Wyatt Russell, I was like, "Hey, Wyatt Russell.
You know what? I'm like, "Hey, no." Just he and Scott Eastwood can go to a podcast or something.
I think Wyatt Russell is more talented than Scott
I don't
Eastwood.
Like this guy at all.
Why?
I think he was a bad Captain America.
He's not Captain America.
But he's supposed to be a bad Captain America.
No. I understand. What I'm saying is, like, I don't even buy anything.
I thought he was good.
Oh, he was fantastic.
I thought he was good.
John Walker.
I get, like, at the beginning when you think he's supposed to be, like, a real replacement.
Right.
But it's, like, the way that played out, I thought he was great. And he was also really good in...
Overlord?
No, the Mormon thing.
Oh,
with
man.
With Andrew Garfield.
Yes.
The Under the Banner of Heaven.
Holy
is that what it was?
Cow, that
oh, I
was
didn't
good.
See that.
It's, yeah, it was,
that was really good.
It's a miniseries on Hulu? FX, either way.
Yeah.
And Andrew Garfield, it's set in Idaho, and Andrew Garfield.
Is it? I thought it was Utah.
Oh, it is Utah. Yeah. You're right. Andrew Garfield is this detective, mm-hmm. but he's Mormon and like hardcore Mormon.
Okay.
And he has to.
Mainstream hardcore.
Yeah,
Mormon,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
I'm sorry. And not so like fundamentalist.
So he has to investigate these fundamentalist Mormons and like. It gets real weird.
Okay. And he is. It's
really good.
Wyatt Russell is one of the main guys, and Andrew Garfield is. They're basically the two leads, and they are both spectacular.
I think you might have a different opinion if you watch.
Okay.
I believe it's called Under the Banner of Heaven.
Wyatt Russell keeps showing up and stuff, and I mean, his dad's so good, and I don't know if it's just because he's in his shadow or whatever, but I mean, I'm not trying to be like, you should be him, but when I watch him, I'm just like, I don't think he's charismatic. I know this script isn't great, but like, I think he's really bad in this movie. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
No.
And it may just be
he's better as bad guys.
He is better at bad guys.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I don't care what happens to him. I didn't care about the character. I mean, I can sympathize with the concept of what his character's going through,
right.
But by the end of this movie, I'm just like, I just don't.
But it's the same premise in the remake of Amityville Horror. It's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's gonna
do big things.
He's gonna do big things. Yeah. That's the first time you see in that remake is you see Ryan Reynolds be a bad guy, and he is terrifying because there is a switch for him. I think there's a scene where he has he's chopping wood because he can't stay warm in the house. So he's got one of the kids. At this point, he's fully possessed, and he's got one of the kids holding stumps of wood. And he's like, don't move your hands. And he's coming down with an axe, while this kid's holding, and just the way he grabs him by the jowls and holds his face. He's like, you know, he's
childhood obesity is a real thing. It's very scary.
Very scary.
You know,
it's weird that they built a movie around.
Again, it may just be a preference. I'm just not into the guy. So I think making him your leading character that you're supposed to sympathize, the whole thing lays on his shoulders of his career and his family. And
yeah.
I
feel like the movie did not do a good job of establishing that he's becoming obsessed with the pool.
Not at all.
Because all of a sudden it's just like, oh yeah, and I'm also obsessed with this pool.
Right.
It didn't become a plot point until it was needed. It didn't feel like there was any build up to it.
Well, okay. He is a Wyatt Russell and Carrie
Condon. Oscar nominated Carrie Condon.
Did you know she was the voice of Friday in all of the Avengers movies?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I didn't know that. I thought it was Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, but okay. So Carrie Condon has this beautiful Irish accent. Why does she have to be American in this movie? Are you saying that
a
good old American baseball player can't marry an Irish woman?
We met in college.
I don't understand why they have to have her drop her accent.
I gotta tell you, I thought this was Rebecca Ferguson for a second.
Oh,
and I was like, did they? Oh, that's not Rebecca Ferguson.
but does anyone? Why? Why can people not use their accent in movies where the plot doesn't revolve around? I mean, she's his wife.
I guess they figure they got to have some sort of.
They went to college together.
Explanation about how.
But
and they,
people come to him. I know. Yeah, I but a 5 second. But I don't know. I just think it's dumb that she has to drop her accent because one. I mean, I know there's some actors that can really do it well, and she is Oscar nominated. She's a great actor, but the Irish accent bleeds through, and then it just some lines sound funny because they're.
I think that they did an interview with Margot Robbie just recently, and they're like, why do you kind of go to that Brooklyn accent?
Harley Quinn, yeah.
And she's like, it's the easiest one to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as
it hides her accent because it's so overbearing.
Well, then I think of somebody like Henry Cavill who does a great American accent, but there is a flatness to it where, somebody that's not doing an accent, if Henry Cavill is American, there's just a different sound to that, and when he's doing an American accent, there is a flatness.
It's got to be hard to be acting's hard enough, and memorizing lines, and then trying to remember to say things a certain way.
Right,
it's got to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you zero in on a Brooklyn accent, or that's really the only thing,
you
or
know,
Boston accent.
Hugh Laurie in House never
that's
knew he
true.
Was British.
Yeah,
that's true.
I didn't know Laurie and Fry, so there's some actors, obviously. So I'm not saying no one can do it, but I think it's dumb because the plot didn't revolve around it. She didn't have to be American, and then there were times where the Irish bled through, and then you're just like, well, that sounded weird.
That
so
weird.
I don't know. It's just a dumb
thing. So yeah, he's
Mel Gibson.
Does he even have an accent anymore?
Yeah, he doesn't really have.
But if you watch those... his early interviews, he's got a very thick Australian accent that he loses for film.
Oh.
But I feel like I don't even hear that now.
Yeah, I don't even hear that.
Maybe it's just
because
he's been here forever.
It could be. Yeah. I don't know.
So Wyatt Russell plays a former Major League Baseball star who has been diagnosed with MS, and he's having to reconcile with the fact that his career is over and his health is deteriorating.
I kept thinking of The Beach That Makes You Old, right? Didn't
old.
That have
old?
Well, yeah. But didn't they have some? I know that it aged you, but was there a supernatural like where?
Yeah, they had to like swim past this grief or something.
Yeah,
that's the one where
I just
have,
kept thinking
like,
this...
the two children have sex and have a baby.
Oh, that
then
was
the baby
weird.
Dies.
But
like, oh my god,
this is the pool that makes you bored.
That's I mean, but that's kind of so. Immediately when they find this house, there is something about this pool that Wyatt Russell is drawn to.
Well, here's the thing: it's you know it. He goes to the doctor, and she says, you got to do exercise. Some people jog. Some people swim.
Right.
You know?
And like, he needs low impact.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So just because, I mean, MS affects his nervous system, and he's just trying to maintain or, you know, not get better, but at least maintain life.
So, of course, when the house has a pool, it's like, well, bingo, there it is. Ta-da. Like, you know, I mean, it makes sense. It checks out. Okay.
Right. So they move in, and you've got these two kids who the older daughter is – kind of like her dad, where she's a natural athlete and things just kind of come easy to her. And then there's another, the son, who is not totally a natural athlete, but also, as I was watching this movie and they go to the baseball tryout, I'm like, he seems to be doing just fine. Like, I could see where he would be like a little nervous because your dad is
right.
This famous baseball player.
Oh, that'd be, yeah, that'd
but
be
at the
so
same
tough.
Time, like, he's hitting the ball. Like, yeah. It's not like he's swinging and
it's
missing.
Like, it's not like he's me.
Well, but when he does hit the ball, like, you know, he goes up after the coach's son is a natural, and then he walks up to the plate, and when he does hit it, it, like, goes foul before the first base. You know what I mean? It's like
there was a single.
I don't know if it, I thought it went foul. But anyway, but, like, the hit he does
but
is very much
okay,
like.
So if you're going to, tell me that this kid struggles at baseball, the one thing that his dad is good at, have him strike out,
right? Like,
don't make contact.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's a very simple thing to make it make that kid even more. Also, one of the things that I can do without at this point is a family in strife. Like, if you can just the family in Poltergeist, I think, is a great example where there's no conflict between any of the family members. They're all in this thing together. They love each other. Where I feel like now there has to be this level of conflict between the mother and the daughter or the father and the wife, you know, like there's always some, and I don't think you need that. I think you can make a movie like Poltergeist, which is lightning in a bottle.
But yeah, just like have
this
be,
whole
yeah.
family, like it starts off fine. And then it just like the kid is kind of like neurotic, not neurotic, but anxious. And the sister's kind of given up. But there are moments with the sister where...
These are just relatable tropes, though. I mean, the thing is, you want the audience to connect with certain things and girl wanting to date and then, you know, sneak
boys
into
with
the
that.
House.
That's
and,
all fine.
Yeah, the kid trying to live up to his dad, the husband trying to, you know,
also,
feel like he has to provide, but he can't. The wife trying to be there for him, but also being like, this is getting to be a little much.
And I'm fine with all that, but, like, have them work together. You know what I mean? Like, and I guess you really can't once somebody's possessed. But
yeah. Well, also you want conflict, or there's no movie.
I guess, but your conflict is with the monster,
right?
Right.
But not in this hour and a half.
That's true.
There's just not enough.
Also,
to do.
I just want to like this is I don't know why this maybe it's because I have a teenage daughter. The way they shot this girl in a bikini, and I was like, all right, she's a child.
How old is she?
She had to be like 16.
I'm Michael Bay level gratuitous shots.
Like, and I was just like, this is okay. I don't know why I have to look at this angle of her swimming.
Yeah, the angle of swimming from behind like that was very.
It's like, she is a child.
She doesn't even isn't even clickable on Wikipedia.
Oh, she's not?
No.
Oh, I didn't know where
right,
you were.
Right, she was Izzy,
that.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's that's not a good sign.
Emily Hoferlay?
I've had the same thing, though, where it's like, that's just not necessary.
You know what? If she's wearing I don't give it. Like, she's wearing a bikini, right? That's fine.
She's 20 in real life.
Oh. Okay, so I don't
which
feel
I,
as
which
creepy,
I figure, because, like, whenever somebody's, by the time they're in high school, they're not casting high school kids, because they can't work the whole day.
That's true.
So
that's
they're
true.
Always going to cast
somebody
an 18, 19, 20-year-old.
Yeah. It is the Jesse Bradford rule. How old are you? 40?
Yeah,
well,
you're
18 today.
I just never forget the stretch, like, the 90s growing up and, like, 10 movies where he was in high school for the whole 10 years. And you're like, but wait, I saw him 10 years ago.
You know who else was like that? Was Paul Rudd. Like,
oh, but yeah, he still could
Paul
play
Rudd,
high schooler.
Paul Rudd in Clueless, where I was like, how old are you supposed to be right now? Like,
I'd still believe it, though. That guy doesn't age.
Hey, Alicia Silverstone is in high school. You look like you're in your fourth year of graduate school.
He was pretty young back then. He was pretty young in Clueless.
His second movie.
Yeah.
You know what his first movie is?
Romeo and Juliet.
Halloween Sorry. 6.
Okay. Romeo plus Juliet was around the same time.
Oh, that's... Well, Halloween 6 is his first movie. Yeah. And then they held it because they knew Clueless was coming out. And then they tried to capitalize on
it. The old Chris Hemsworth
trick. That's right. So anyway, like... So they buy this house. They fill the pool up. They've cleaned it out. They get it all squared away. And as soon as Wyatt Russell gets into the pool... He starts to, like, he cuts his hand at one point like while cleaning out the drain, and
the pool bites him.
That's kind of what happens.
That's the scariest part, I think, of the movie, because
it's the infection.
But in real life, things you can't see, right? You know, there's a hole. Like, you know when people, like, jump into a hole in the ground and go explore it?
So in other words, the scariest profession would be gynecologist.
Oh, without question. Without question. Wet. You don't know what you're putting your hand in. It. Yeah.
But that to me, where
I saw
I'm like,
teeth.
Ooh. Yeah. But when he's putting his arm.
Do you remember? I think we've talked about this before. Do you remember the name of the main character in Teeth? No. For people who aren't aware, Teeth is the movie where the woman's vagina has teeth.
Uh huh. No. Oh, Dawn.
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 Is it Dawn O'Keefe?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is it true?
So
came to be.
So he puts his hand forearm down in the drain. You're like, ooh, that's gonna get...
God.
So it gives him a cut across the hand,
and then as he's been swimming in this pool, the MS has started to subside. The giant gash in his hand has healed, and he does start to have like this symbiotic relationship with the pool because it is making him feel better. He goes to his son's baseball practice and swings a bat for the first time and just demolishes a
metal bat. Adults don't use metal baseball bats.
That's not true. You can use them in college.
Can you in college?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, college is the cutoff.
Because I'm just like, he hit it with a metal bat.
Could you imagine a baseball coming at you at about we'll say 100 miles an hour, and you make contact with an aluminum bat, you're going to kill somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I just thought, like, why didn't they have the professional baseball player that clearly plays with a wooden bat pick up a wooden bat and swing it? Because should. Yeah, they made it like it was the biggest brouhaha about him hitting a light in the outfield, and it's like he had a metal bat. He's a professional baseball player.
I saw The Natural.
Yeah,
he
I know
did that with a wooden bat.
I was the same way. I was like, oh, it's The Natural.
Hobbs did that.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a stupid scene because they were impressed by him hitting a baseball home run with a metal bat.
I think what we're supposed to take away from that is that he could swing and make contact.
I get it. Yeah. Put a wooden bat in his hand and show it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It was a dumb choice.
Was it aluminum?
Yes. He was holding a metal bat.
I thought he pulled it out of his bat. Okay.
I was watching it when he went.
But I still think, you know, it's a group of kids. They're seeing something like that up close.
Yeah.
You know, not just on TV in a baseball stadium where they're a city block
away.
There's
a really funny video.
I just think it's bad writing, though. Yeah. I just think give him the wooden bat, and when they see
pulling the bat out of his bag,
that's probably bad direction.
Could be.
Like, I doubt the script said he pulls out a metal bat.
Yeah,
that
like someone should have been
someone
there,
on
but those
set.
Are,
just here's a bat.
Pick up a bat, right? And so it just would have made more sense if he got out of his bat. Oh yeah, I'll go do a batting practice. I'll grab a wooden bat, and then you hit the home run. It's like that's impressive.
There's a really funny video. They've done this before, but a Major League Baseball player named Chris Bryant goes to like a local college. And he's like, you know, the coach is like, hey, we got this guy. He's going to be a walk-on just, you know, to the other players. The other players have no idea. You know, he's got, like, makeup on or whatever. Yeah. And he gets in the batting cage, and he just starts crushing the ball. And these other players are like, holy God, who is this guy? And then somebody's like, that's Chris Bryant. And they're like, no, it's not. And of course, they all walk up. It's the same thing where you have a Major League Baseball player stepping into a batting box with a bunch of college guys, and it's a different game. It's a very different game. So...
But I agree with Tom, though. They should have focused on
the
symbiotic
obsession with
relationship.
The pool.
And, I mean, there's context clues. You can figure out that's what they're doing. You know, he looks at his hand. It's been mysteriously healed.
But you don't really get the sense of obsession.
Yeah,
like,
but I want
this is supposed to be like Christine.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Oh, excellent call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the, you know that this guy's becoming obsessed with the car. And if anybody gets in between him and the car,
he's
going to be a problem. What's that?
You know he...
Car.
car.
Yeah.
Without question.
What do you think he was doing on the bottom of the pool? Yeah. So that is what
does have like that, yeah.
So I agree. They should have had more scenes with him golleming it
night
over
swim,
the
swim salt burn.
Have you watched that?
I have. That's and? How I could make the reference.
Besides all the brouhaha, is it worth a watch?
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a weird movie, but okay. But I enjoyed it.
Like Emerald Fennell, it's the director of Bo Burnham. What's the Bo Burnham?
Promising Young
Promising
Woman.
Young Woman, yeah.
Yeah.
Director of that, writer director of that, yeah.
Oh.
So,
man, I love that movie a lot.
Night Swim 2, Electric Scoobity Doobity Doo.
Scoobity Doo. So, I mean, basically, they have this pool party, and while Wyatt Russell is doing whatever game that is.
And it's a day swim. Let's
Marco
be...
Polo.
Marco. No, he's got the kid on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Well, I liked the line where he's like, roided out Shrek over here. I was like, that's funny.
I mean, they couldn't be more obvious. Like, out of nowhere, everyone looks normal, and out of nowhere, Bundy comes walking through the screen. Where it's just a weird introduction.
That's so funny.
And then for him to call it out, where like the guy's clearly planted to be
right.
It's just a really weird.
So
it's like Chekhov's bazooka.
They go underwater, and the wishing well, which is what this is. That's what this comes down to.
Spoilers.
55 minutes in.
Get spoiling.
We find out that this pool and other like parts of this neighborhood have been built on top of a wishing pond. Mm-hmm. And if you make a wish in the pond, which nobody does, nobody says,
I really hope my MS
my
goes
son
away.
To, yeah, right.
Which I mean, I think
it
that's
like reads your thoughts
right.
and gives you
what you want.
Wyatt Russell really wants to be back into baseball.
So does that mean that the daughter wished to be popular?
Oh, he threw his coin in for the kid to go find. That's his wish.
Oh.
He gave the kid a quarter and drew a smiley face on it. And
they consider that the wish?
Well, think about a wishing well and putting coins in a pool. He put his coin in the pool.
Was the daughter throwing coins in the pool when
to earlier? Try to catch the brother. It's the coins. A wishing well.
Okay. Okay, that's not bad.
I mean, there's at least something there.
That's fair.
There's something there.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but okay.
So then it's even less scary.
Yeah, then you're doing...
just don't throw coins in your pool.
But at least
we have
some explanation.
I've been in pools before.
Never thrown a coin in there?
53 years of existence, I've never thrown
I've
a coin.
I've also never gone diving for coins
in a pool.
I've gone diving for stuff.
Yeah.
You go into the fountains at the mall to try to get coins off the bottom of the pool.
Because you never know what you're going to find.
I work for them. I'm just collecting for the charities.
It's all going to UNICEF.
Yeah. So
it's all for Jerry's kids.
Yeah. Right.
So he pulls the coach's son they win chicken, and he starts walking into the deep end. And at this point, the thing during this day swim has possessed him. The venom comes out of the thing, possesses him. He gets black eyes and, he's all veiny.
And actually, I do like that his wife does have a reasonable explanation for not letting the kid go. She's like, look, the disease can.
Yeah.
And he comes up out of the water, and he looks like he's almost drowned as well. So it's like,
I think
them banning the kid from the team.
Yeah,
it also seems like a lot because it's like the theory that like it's his MS that caused this is very very plausible.
Yeah.
It's not like he's looking great. The Wyatt Russell character, he also almost died.
Right.
To the casual observer, it does not look like he tried to kill your kid.
Right.
He
had an attack underwater.
He had an attack. Yeah. I just don't know that a reasonable parent would behave that way.
I think your kid almost died. I mean, for them to freak out at the moment, I do think, But so at this point, the wife and the kid... And they never really go back to this, which I thought was dumb. But he sets up a camera because he's like, I'm going to watch what
that
happens.
That is true. He does set up a camera and then never references
And then he
that
watches
again.
The pool party as he's videotaping, but he's also watching.
Also, creep.
Yeah. But
also,
then,
why is it a camcorder in today's
why
world?
Why wouldn't it be a phone?
Why wouldn't it just be a phone?
Well, because I think for batting practice or something.
But why isn't he using a phone? Like, nobody would use a camcorder
He like, just grabbed, for whatever reason, his dad already had it set up in the garage from his batting practice taping or whatever, and so he just grabbed it. I guess that's just what he had access to. Maybe the kid doesn't have a phone. I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. Really what it comes down to is they start to realize that the pool is bad. So Kerry Condit goes and talks to the former owners, and we find out that the kid that was sick in the bed in the beginning has now become like this very successful business person, something. But the mom is possessed.
This is the best scene in the movie. This is the only thing that was creepy. Nothing about that pool is creepy.
This reminded me a lot of Smile.
Yeah. This woman being possessed and smiling while she's delivering with black stuff coming out of her eyes. Best thing in the movie.
Yeah, I don't
know. But it's like, from a totally different movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, but I wanted to be anywhere but in this movie. So
I did think for the long, I was like, I had to look this up because I thought, you know, in the early 2000s, there was this influx of American remakes of Japanese horror, right? It was The Ring and The Grudge. I think there was it a cell phone one? I don't know what that was called. But I thought for a second, I was like, this was a Japanese movie. Like the way it looks like The Ring, like in certain scenes, like it's got that weird like gray filter to it.
Well, I think this guy obviously is a horror fan. He's got the It homage. He's got, you know, these things that feel like Amityville. You know what I mean? I think that he's drawing inspiration from these different movies.
That's true.
But I liked this scene. But we come to find out that the mom was possessed and she was like,
she allowed her daughter to be taken.
Yes, happy for the thing to have taken. Her wish was for the son to get better. And so she basically sacrificed.
Because in order to get your wish, someone has to die.
Correct. You have to feed the
monkey paw or whatever.
Yeah. That's right. I love that Simpsons episode.
What is it like?
He's like, it was like, give me a turkey sandwich on rye bread with no mustard. And he takes a bite. He's like, there is mustard on here.
And then he uses another wish or something, doesn't
he? No, Lisa wishes for world peace. Bart wishes for x-ray specs that really work or something like that. And Homer wishes for a turkey sandwich. And then they give it to Flanders. And he's like, well, may as well spruce up the old homestead. And he's doing wishes that like, makes sense. And then his are all right. He's like, I wish I had a monkey's paw. Great. That's a great episode. We're going to wrap this up right now. Wyatt Russell becomes possessed. The mom comes home. The kid has been taken to the son.
When they try to leave the house, she packs up everybody. He's like, where are we going? And she's like, anywhere but here. Which is like, okay, logical horror movie. Like, this and is then cool. But the thing has already, from the pool party, possessed him. And so as they get out the driveway, they basically are like, well, we need to attack him. So he has to go lay down.
Which is also from The Conjuring. Like, there's a scene in The Conjuring where Lily Taylor, right?
You haven't seen it yet.
No. That's crazy to me. It's so good.
You keep making it. Let's do an episode on that.
Okay.
You keep making me watch these movies.
I think it's Lily Taylor. She's possessed by this thing, and they try to get her out of the house, and it attacks her and makes her, you know, like starts burning her face or whatever. So they go back in, and at this point, the son has been dragged under the pool into this weird. It looks like something from Sinister or whatever.
Yeah,
like
essentially.
The other side.
The pool has like another dimension. So we've seen a couple times, like when the daughter gets trapped down there, she looks up and the pool's really far away.
Right.
So it's not.
These scenes are ridiculous.
It's not just the bottom of the pool. And also, when you come back up, they're like, you've been gone for 2 seconds. So like they're experiencing. Time has stopped. They're in another dimension. They're in the upside down or whatever.
That's kind of what it is.
Things just function differently, right? Because, I do like the scene where at the end where the daughter drops the quarter and it goes up. And she's like, no, you're going the wrong way. Well, that's just a cool imagery. Oh, like.
Just follow the bubbles.
Well, that's not the daughter. It's the girl from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, the
daughter. Yes, yeah. I thought, I got you.
But time slows down. And so we see.
I actually like this scene. I like that they're in this dark water and she has like this, like, mag light, kind of like a pen light, and she keeps flashing it, and you can see like bits and pieces of the people that this water has taken. And there's one that's really bad, but when you just do it really fast and you just see like these underwater zombies, like I was like, that's kind of cool. But the fat guy is ridiculous looking. But but there's another scene where
people swim too.
I know they do.
So I guess we're to believe that everyone who's been taken by the pool, this is the same thing as who's the little girl that was helpful in a movie we talked about this where talk to me, right? Like All the other people are monsters, but the little girl is a nice, sweet little girl.
And doesn't have, like, her the way she looks completely normal. She doesn't have, like, the, you know, waterlogged face.
Why is everyone else a monster?
I don't know.
I just, what are the rules?
I don't know.
Okay.
So the bombs say, I do like, again, with Chekhov's gun, where she's just like, oh, I'm a Navy kid, so I've been doing diving drills since I was a child. You know, I was like, that's coming back.
You know how good of shape, even if she was a Navy kid and did these things, you know how currently good of shape you'd have to be to swim for that long and hold your breath for that long?
And she even has that hose.
Just always kills me.
She has that hose.
And then she leaves it, but then she goes for another 3 minutes, and you're just like, God.
I saw Men of Honor.
Dragging your kid up and swimming with one.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I don't know.
It's not easy.
Those scenes always annoy me if there's not. I mean, the hose had to be there, or else you'd be like, there's no way.
Right. So I didn't even think about the hose as like a point of oxygen. I was like, oh, it's just like her tethered to get back out.
Yeah, I thought she was tying herself
to
not
And then when
get
she
stolen,
did that, I was
yeah.
like, oh, that's yeah. also pretty smart.
That's right, smart. Yeah.
Well done. So they get the kid out. Wyatt Russell breaks the curse, but then the curse has now been transferred to the boy.
I thought the daughter was going to die. A glass shakes itself with the possessed water off the counter. And then a bunch of shards are on the ground, and I thought she was going to, like, step on it and get stopped.
Oh.
But no, she falls, and it, like, goes into her wrist.
That
and
was
I'm like,
so random.
I thought they were going to go in and, like, she'd be dead or something because no, the way she landed
pulls,
on it.
She just pulls it out and keeps walking.
But it's like a 2-minute scene of her being like, ouchie. And I'm like, well, this is silly.
This is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
So, the kid's possessed, and Wyatt Russell's like, I know what I got to do.
And he sacrifices
himself to go back into the water, and it releases the kid from the curse.
If you cared, then you're like, yeah, that's a nice thing to do, good sacrifice. If you cared about these characters, at this point, I'm just like, whatever, no. man.
Well, good news for you is that there's no Wyatt Russell in Night Swim 2.
That's right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, maybe he'll come back as like a ghost.
Yeah, he's in.
Oh, he'll be down in the
down the other side. Happy, helpful.
Yeah, he's a helpful one. Cool
yeah. yeah, right. So, yeah, this movie ends with the family, you know, the family, what's left of the family.
He had some weird line deliveries in this movie. When I talk about him being bad in this movie, he had some, like, over-the-top, like, you know when Nicolas Cage goes for some lines,
yeah.
you know, and you're just like, well, he has some scenes where he just, like, yells some lines, and, like, really excitedly, and I think it's supposed to be because he's kind of obsessed and possessed by the pool or whatever, but...
That is true.
That
he does
was
have some weird,
man,
ones.
The
yeah,
way he
right,
just,
right.
like, blurts out some stuff.
That's funny. So they, you know, the mom's like, you know, we can move, we can get out of here, and the kid's like, yeah, but it'll happen to somebody else, and the daughter's like, that's not what dad would want.
And then so let's permanently solve the problem, but still live in this house?
Like, I mean, the house, here's the
fill it
thing.
Up and move.
Kevin. Interest rates are like 8%.
Yeah, oh, right.
That's,
I mean,
that's true. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it is funny because if we're saying that the house has a natural spring, you still have to use tap water. You still
that doesn't mean that your plumbing is tapped into the spring.
I guess that's true. Okay.
They didn't
we're
have
just
a
saying,
well
that,
in
we're
the
just
backyard.
Saying that the pool was a spring-fed pool.
Because Mr. Exposition Handyman
that
comes over.
That guy was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
I did like it, the fake out where you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Because people keep getting hurt around the pool.
Right.
And he just like slips in the dive. Like, oh, that was, you know, but he was in a different movie. See, okay. Then they make a joke. Wyatt Russell makes a joke. What is the joke that makes no sense? I don't know. I can't remember. It's too dumb. I didn't care to write it down. But there were scenes in this movie that were like they were trying to be in a dumb horror movie, like a la Malignant or something. Like there were wacky things that would just pop into this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what this movie has to be enjoyable, about a possessed swimming pool. You have to make it ridiculous.
Yes,
because
I agree.
Taking this
premise
seriously.
I mean, a possessed swimming pool is just this side of a Carol Burnett sketch.
Yeah. So what they have to do if they want this to work, if they wanted it to work, they had to make it so ridiculous. They had to have an element of the like Malignant, Ma, these horror movies that are like these have wacky lines and over the top things, because then you can be like, okay, this movie's ridiculous, but it's fun.
But it knows it's ridiculous.
But this movie tried to place. What's the other movie about trauma? We watched a horror movie last year that, again, we've all forgotten about, I'm sure, where we're just like, they think they're doing something so amazing about trauma and loss. And you're just like, this
Halloween Ends?
I don't think.
No, Sinister? Or not, but,
was it that one?
But Insidious 5.
It might be, where it's just like, come on. Like,
oh, that Evil Dead movie?
No, Evil Dead
I
movie
I liked that movie,
it,
but
that
there's something. But they try to do this a lot where they take it seriously, and we're like, go one way or the other. Wacky fun, or make a dramatic movie, but like, I just don't think sometimes the medium works.
I think you can have a medium. It's just not
with
easy
a really good script.
Right.
That's what
it's
I'm saying.
It's not easy to do.
You have to either have it be really good or it has to be really wacky. But when it lands in the middle, you just are like, no, this isn't it.
Just to touch on the Halloween thing real quick.
Oh dear! It's no, it's my, I blame myself.
It's a bit, there was a bidding war between like A24, mm-hmm. Miramax, and somebody. And Miramax did get
the TV.
TV rights.
That's right.
So I don't know if that means that they have the rights to make a movie or whatever.
No. So Blumhouse has the movie rights. Miramax can make the TV show.
I don't think Blumhouse. I think they only had a 3-picture deal.
I think they
could be wrong.
Well,
about
Universal
that, but,
still has the rights or something. I think they
maybe
still,
the partnership with Blumhouse was a 3-picture
yeah,
deal.
Maybe I think
that
so,
could be.
Yeah.
But so there's going to be a Halloween TV show.
Do you remember?
And a Friday the 13th prequel show.
Do you remember? There's two more Exorcist movies coming.
I believe it when I see.
Yeah. Same.
Like
same.
I something reminded me that the other day, and I go, oh my god, there. What is it? What's the new movie? What's the trailer that we saw before this? The Omen.
I didn't see a trailer for that first, but the Omen. First Omen, and I was walking through the draft house. I was walking out, and I saw the poster was like right in my face. I was like, the first Omen, like a prequel to the Omen. Yeah. Omen. All right,
man. Which reminded me, I go, oh my god, there's two more Exorcist movies coming.
No, there's not. No, there won't be.
They've already spent $1 billion. What was it? They spent $500 million.
Yeah, they
million
spent.
On
yeah, they, money. They spent.
Money.
They spent so much for the rights.
And I will say, I do think this time of January, is a good spot for a low budget horror flick.
Yeah, we've seen it happen.
And I think it's a really smart move because I think it's done fairly well. Again, it's
so this was estimated. This was tracking to make like $27 million.
Yeah,
and then the estimates now are $12 million.
Yeah, I think it made 15.
Is that what it did? I mean, it only cost him 10.
Right, but it was tracking for 20 something.
Right.
So yeah. I think people caught wind that
that's the Blumhouse thing. Man, is like they can do. I don't think they've ever taken a loss.
If you make it cheap enough,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
is like they do them on the cheap. Money. I think the only one that lost money was maybe that. One of those Paranormal Activity movies.
I got to tell you, though, what do you think the budget on this movie was?
$10
million. $15 million. No reason this movie has to be $15
million. No.
There's such a simple premise.
But, I think a lot of it's up front because they signed that pool to a 3-picture.
Oh, is it for the pool? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So for the sequels, they'll still have it. But like, this is the type of movie where you get Wyatt Russell, Kerry Condon, like back end deal this thing, you know, like get him in there.
Maybe not.
But make a $3 million movie and then.
Hey, I take a back end deal on a Blumhouse movie.
Right, that's because true. If it makes $300
Knowing
million.
What their track record, you got a really good shot at maybe ending up in a movie that makes $500 million.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so like these movies should have small budgets. And then if they take off, you make buku bucks. If they don't, you only spent your few million. But this movie, the centers around a swimming pool. Does not need $15 million.
No.
I feel like you always take the back end deal. Don't be Donald Sutherland turned down a back end deal on Animal House.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Whoops.
They offered
his back end in that movie.
You do. I think they offered him at one point like 25% of the profit.
That's it?
What?
No, he would have gotten 25%?
25%?
Yeah.
Okay, that's insane.
My favorite story is Matt Damon turning down Avatar.
Yeah.
And Cameron's like, I'll give you 10% of the take. And he's like, no.
And then did he do the Great Wall or something?
He did something. He was like, just like, yeah. I was like,
that was wrong.
Damn it.
Yeah.
But, well, I guess the real takeaway here is that since this is distributed by Universal, swimming pools are now Universal monsters.
They are. Yeah. Yes. That's the way that works.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. I like in an interview on the premiere of this movie, someone asked Kerry Condon, so after making this movie, were you scared about pools? What was your relationship to pools? She's like, yeah, no, I went swimming. I love to swim. So apparently this movie's not good enough to make anyone worried about swimming pools. I just thought that was a hilarious way for to promote the movie. No, it didn't do anything.
You know what made me scared of swimming pools? Jaws.
Yeah.
Swimming pools?
I did not. Nope.
See, okay. The director of this movie, the writer-director, said like, this movie, the idea for the short film came from as a kid, like playing in the pool and like pretending what could be down there. Yes, that's a fun. As a kid, you pretend these things, right? But not every idea that a kid has for imagination time should turn into a feature-length film.
Or maybe don't let the kid write the script.
Yeah. That's also
let the kid
point.
Have the idea. Let the adult write the script.
Correct.
So
correct.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21, also on Letterboxd. And don't forget to check out Binge Movies Patreon if you want to hear Jason and I go in-depth about movies and wrestling and how they both kind of tie together.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett. And if you enjoyed our Iron Claw movie, go watch those Vice Dark Side of the Ring documentaries. They're really good.
People people have stopped wanting to interview with those. They've had to change it to, because they're not nice stories.
Oh.
So they've had to change it to like Tales of the Territories.
I see. But they're really good.
There's four seasons and they're all, for the most part, they're all real good.
And there's biography ones. If you go to YouTube, go to the biography channel and they're very similar type documentaries.
But those are all centered on WWE guys.
Yeah.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And don't forget, of course, you can watch all of these on YouTube. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Bert bans Eddie.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.